if you're a savvy business owner, your end game is to scale and get bigger and continue to make more money, right? So with that, you have to understand these metrics and these KPIs, right? I think what a lot of people don't understand, no matter what industry you're in, the infrastructure of a business from A to B, B to C is the same.
Hey, what's going on? It's your host, Tolu Oyemi, doing the most. Let's get to it. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at TOLU.OWOYEMI. Now back to the episode.
Hey, what's going on, Masterminders? Welcome to another episode of Mastermind Your Life. We got Justin Blake in the house, founder of Operational Excellence and Design Management Group. Not only that, man, this guy has been in Forex. He's helping disabled veterans. He's doing contracting. He's active, he's competitive, shooting and everything. So, man, Justin Blake, welcome to the show, man.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me, man. It's a blessing to be on your platform, and I definitely appreciate you taking the time out to let me exhaust some of your time.
Awesome. Now, tell us about, like, because obviously, you know, you had your hands in a lot of different industries, from finances to government contracting to, you know, operational excellence. Like, how did that love of different business infrastructures come from? Tell us about your background, kind of like growing up, and what led to you being who you are today.
Yeah, man, very, I appreciate you calling that out. Yeah, definitely a very eclectic resume. So I think the root of it, the foundation of it is rooted in the fact that I'm a military brat, right? So my mother spent 23 years in the military, father did roughly 20 to 25 years, I don't know the exact number. And on top of that, we moved around a lot, right? So I went to 17 schools from kindergarten to 12th grade, so I was very accustomed to being agile in life, you know, now beyond just business moves or even academics, just in life, having to be the new kid all the time. But through that, being kind of inclined in athletics, as well as highly inclined in academics, my mom didn't play that, right? So I had to be a straight A student. I think that was the foundation that caused me to be fearless, right? So I'm not scared to hop in a very different industry or trade craft, for that matter. So with that, man, when there's opportunity and there's interest for me, I'll jump into it head first. And I'll do trial by fire from there. And if it works out, it works out. And if it doesn't, you know, throw it to the backside and I'll go try something else, right? I think just being rooted and being a military brat and having moved around a lot has caused me to be, the silver lining of that has caused me to be in so many different things in my professional career today.
Awesome. And it's like, not only are you built for that type of ever-changing environment, but then you're able to adapt, succeed, and help that business and environment succeed and level up, which is really interesting because you have to have a certain set of skills. You have to have a certain kind of mindset because a lot of people like stability. The way it's always been done, let's do this. Because you went from, I'm seeing automotive product line, process improvement engineering. And talk to us about process, the importance of process and what that means to you.
Oh, absolutely, man. So process is pivotal and people kind of, I won't say shoot past it, but they don't understand how relevant it is into the success of your business. So I was introduced to Lean Six Sigma very early on in my career. I mean, very early on, right? So Lean Six Sigma is a methodology that is designed to ultimately drive process optimization and eliminate waste in the transactional workflow within any given process. And we're talking about from HR processes to manufacturing processes to weapon system processes to selling cookies, selling coffee, whatever it may be, right? Business is business, right? And through that, I was able to excel to the highest tier of that methodology, which is called a master black belt Lean Six Sigma. I'm a master black belt, right? So through that, we drive visibility and process improvement within your administrative processes, as well as your tail end processes that actually generate revenue, to understand how that process really acts from a step-by-step perspective, right? The most mundane things, right? And from that, we're able to get visibility on how you're doing business within that particular transactional process, and drive improvement, either through automation, training other personnel for redundancy purposes, or ultimately eliminating elements of that process that actually bring innate cost waste to that process, right? So what we do is ultimately we break your business down to its most fundamental level, understand what all business processes that you're doing, and try to drive metrics and KPIs, key performance indicators in that process. So you as a business leader or even as staff can see how you're performing. What is the performance behavior of that process on a real time basis, right? So by that, and then by having that visibility, now you can make stern and very quick business decisions that hopefully will benefit your business.
And this is awesome. I love the fact that you mentioned the KPI and metrics, because me and my business partners, you know, the businesses that we're in is driven by, hey, look, it's Monday. We got to go over the KPIs. What are the rocks? What are the traction? What is the EOS? What are we looking at to look at the bird's eye point of view of the business to see the overall direction, the health? Is there any issues within it? And that's interesting because my business partner is about 10 years older than me. When I got in, I didn't know any of that. So basically, Justin, you're able to help business owners realize the importance of these systems, and not only that, but to build it into their current day-to-day operation.
Absolutely, you're spot on. So here's the thing, right? So I can't be holistic in that regard, but at the end of the day, business is about making money. No matter if you're selling tennis shoes or you're selling Lamborghinis, right? It's all about making money. And in doing that, when you start a business at day zero, you may have what you have, your as is state. But everyone, if you're a savvy business owner, your end game is to scale and get bigger and continue to make more money, right? So with that, you have to understand these metrics and these KPIs, right? I think what a lot of people don't understand, no matter what industry you're in, the infrastructure of a business from A to B, B to C is the same, right? Mm. It doesn't matter if you're a Walmart, which is a super conglomerate, right, down to a mom and pop like myself, right? I still have to do a lot of the same processes that a Walmart has to do, or Northrop Grumman, or an Accenture, or whatever it may be, right? It's just at a lower volume and a lower scale, same process, right? So with that being said, we help connect that bridge to understand, like, guys, listen, your business should be self-sustaining and self-managing as much as possible. You want to eliminate the human touch as much as possible, because that invites errors, it invites confusion, and invites miscommunication. All very, very poisonous things for your business, right? Can't eliminate those things because it's a part of life, it's a part of the world, right? But the thing is, you want to have visibility to those things because you want to know when the needle moves. So if you made a decision to do XYZ, ABC, you need to be able to measure that decision, right? And that's smart business, right? Because at the end of the day, you're gonna make mistakes, you're gonna mess up, but you wanna put yourself in a position to learn from those mistakes so you don't mess up again, right? And that's what we help do.
And the reason, to everybody that's listening to this, the reason why this is so important, because this is the spirit of your business in essence. This is the life of it, because it's almost like if you're growing a tree or a plant, you got to use the right soil, you have to use the right fertilizers, what are you doing, a pH test, like what's going, you have to like do certain processes and tasks over and over and over again to measure the growth, see the virality and the vitality of the business as it grows. And one thing that I wanted to ask you that I think is interesting, what are some of the common issues that you see in businesses that need your services the most? Maybe more in the smaller or medium-sized businesses.
That's a very easy answer. Businesses that create workarounds to satisfy the customer, right? Mm. So in order to be a scalable business, you can't be Burger King. You can't let customers have it their way, right? They, I mean, now to a degree, you need to supply very high quality and a very good product or service at the end of the day, right? But that doesn't mean that you need to amend your services or products every time you engage a different client, right? And that tends to happen a lot because it's a small business. You don't want to turn business away, right? You want to take whatever you can get because you want to grow. What you don't realize is that if you start navigating away from your standard operating procedures of how you go about executing your business, now you've created workarounds that now you have to train to, right? So now if you start bringing on more and more personnel, right? Not only do you have to train them into the culture of your business, now you've created a little sub or micro cultures from client to client, right? Which becomes very hard to manage, right? So at the end of the day, we want to drive continuity and standardization within your products and services, right? Now, again, that's not zero sum. There's going to be some exceptions and things of that nature, but it has to be on a case-by-case perspective, and you need to have visibility into your operations through those KPIs and metrics to understand when we can do that and can't do that, and ultimately, what will be the impact down, you know, downstream if we do that, right? So I would say the most common thing that we see is that creating workarounds and creating exceptions to your process in order just to bring in revenue, right? And again, as a small business, that's gonna happen. I did, right? I did the same thing, but that's not scalable and that's not sustainable whatsoever. So you have to make sure that as you're doing those sorts of exception type things just to bring in revenue, ultimately you need to covertly and diplomatically drive those customers back to a target operating model that where you it makes your job easier to manage your business and execute said services or products.
Wow, these are gems right here, guys. If you're listening to this, no matter what stage of your business you're at, because certain people are going to be going, huh, what are you talking about? And then others are going to be like, yep, that's right. You got to have these, because that's so correct. You know, whenever we're trying to get clients, there's a balance between our standard operating procedures and our protocols. And then it's like, hey, look, this guy, he's got money. The business, they got money.
They're
a little different.
Make it happen.
Let's bring them in. And so my business partner stresses to me like, yo, like, or if he brings somebody, it's like, yo, they're new. So we have to start building out protocols and how we're going to service them, because our main line, that's extremely solid. This furnace, this battle tested, is ready to go. But when you extend these tentacles out to it's like, hey, okay, so now you even got to step in and assist, which is interesting.
And I'm sorry, I don't want to beat a dead horse. What you're going to realize is that drives down to all your documentation, right? And your and then the terms and conditions in these contracts, right? So if you did ABC for customer A and you did DEF for customer B and then you did 1-2-3 for customer C, you got to manage all that stuff, because now you put yourself in litigation territory at this point in time, right? And if you fail to meet something, you have to realize you've created 9 variables when you're only supposed to have 3 variables to measure, right? So it's very critical that you stay on top of that and understand that, okay, you may be doing ABCXYZ today to, you know, for those 9 variables to grow as a business. But in the back of your mind, you have to realize, I have to go back to standard. I got to go back to standard, right? Because it's going to be a nightmare for your staff to manage all those exceptions.
Hey, and it's interesting because it's almost like you're seeing the highest level of that strategy. Because at the end of the day, depending on how, like, a team can handle it based on how well they're trained and how seasoned they are, but you still don't want to put them in that situation because it slows up operations. And you're right. And it's not just that alone. There's other effects that begin to degenerate it from that you're like, oh my, you didn't even see that.
And you've limited it and you've scoped out their potential. So instead of them being powerhouses and being in a campaign to help you build your business, now you have them in the weeds doing administrative stuff, right? Administrative stuff is very critical and very important. Only way you're going to keep the lights on. However, if they're too bogged down by admin stuff, who's bringing in net new money? Nobody, right? Now you have to hire another SME or subject matter expert to be a business development person, right? So now you just added more costs onto your G&A. right? Which cuts into your margin, right? So it's very critical to limit exceptions and being what we call Burger King, having your way to your customers.
Yeah, and it's interesting because this field specifically is kind of boring to a lot of business owners. I'm not going to lie, it's not something that, you know, I'm like, yo, let's grow. Vision. Just the future. Just how the future is going to look like. All that stuff. I mean, at this point, I've come to understand, like, all that stuff and the boring stuff is the foundation. It is the structure. And if you don't have that in place and you're not continuously looking at it and improving it, everything else falls apart. Your training. Tell us about, I know we kind of jumped into the, you know, business and talking about everything, but tell us about when you were in North Carolina and how, like, the manufacturing systems and engineering, because you took product and process development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us about that. Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So, that's actually, I was working for a polyurethane chemicals plant. We were generating foam, and the foam was for mattress foam, foam that goes into chairs, that goes into the liner, into your head situation in your car. And it's like maybe five or six firms globally that produces this type of firm, right? This type of foam. And I actually got introduced to Lean Six Sigma, which is that process improvement methodology that I discussed earlier there, right? So this is like, I'm a little displaced out of college because I was working for DoD right out of college. I was working on communication weapon systems. But from there, I wanted to go get some other experience. I had been working weapon systems for like, 6 years at this point, because I was doing it through college as well too, right? So there I got the manufacturing real world experience, right? At all tiers, all the way from general manager down to our hourly workers, right? And we're creating such a niche product, right? This foam has very, very, very critical variables and control limits that you have to meet to ensure that the structural integrity of this foam meets standard for the end user, for the clients, right? Whether it's perforated foam, firm foam for mattresses, memory foam, whatever it may be, right? But through that, and dealing with such a very, I would say dealing with a chemical environment, you can clearly see when a decision doesn't meet an expected outcome. Because you're dealing with raw material at this point in time, right? So that was very eye-opening, as well as dealing with the personnel. When a particular decision made chemically impacts the manufacturing part of the process, right? So ultimately what happened is I really got a firm understanding of how to look at a value chain, right? And a value chain ultimately is the end-to-end perspective of any business. I mean, literally from A to Z. The moment a customer calls in and says, I want foam, all the way down to paying taxes, right? You sent them their phone, you got your payment, you paid payroll, you took care of the light bill, this bill, that bill, you took care of insurance, you balanced the general ledger. I got the whole perspective because this was such a niche product. And once I got a grasp of that, at this point, I got my green belt in Lean Six Sigma, which is the first tier of Lean Six Sigma, right? And through that, I was able to advance to black belt before dismounting from that organization. So that opportunity at Olympic Products was the start of my journey in bringing process improvement to my client base today.
Interesting. And a question that I have for you is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I get the sense that you almost enjoy being put into pressured situations and constructing mechanisms and processes that are able to handle those pressure situations and produce?
That's a way you can put it. So I don't really see it as pressure situations, but that is definitely a way it can be perceived. And I definitely understand how you perceive it that way. I just like to be a consultant within a organization, right? I was never fond of being a cubicle guy. No, not to that. And nor was I fond of being a monotonous guy, doing the same thing over and over and every day. But I love solving problems. I've always been a solution-oriented person, right? So once I got a grasp of Lean Six Sigma, stepping into organizations, stepping into different functions within an organization, I'm innately trained to look at, okay, how does this work? How do we make it faster? How do we improve it? How do we eliminate any risk? How do we eliminate hazards, right? How do we create redundancy? And ultimately, how do we keep quality in its highest tier, right? So, I mean, yes, there could be pressure with that when you sign up for something saying, hey, I can save you $10 million or I can help your throughput be up by 20%. And these are very big commitments and very big words you got to stand on. That is the pressure part. But ultimately, when you understand business, again, 98% of businesses are actually have the same infrastructure foundation at the end of the day. No matter what you're selling, cars or selling clothes, same business is business, right? So as I got more and more mature in my career, the pressure kind of went away. Now it's a matter of, okay, how do you guys do it, right? And then, because again, you can always learn, right? I don't want to come in with the gold stamp saying, okay, this is the way it's done in corporate America or my company, your competitor or whatever, whatever. It's like, okay, I know that information. I know how it's done, but how do you do it? Because again, there's nuances that you create within your environment that may satisfy your client base, right? And I don't ever want to supersede that, because at the end of the day, you satisfy the customer, right? So yeah, so I mean, I enjoy it. It's very strategic work. And ultimately, you get an interface with all functions of the business. I'm not locked into one element. I'm interacting with everybody, right? And ultimately, everything can be measured very quickly on dollars and cents, right? There's no subjectivity. Did you save me money? Yes or no? Did I make more money? Yes or no? Right? Am I bringing in more money? Yes or no? Right? So when you eliminate measurement on yourself to where it's you know, did you save us? Yes or no? Right? It makes it easy because you ultimately know your target, right? So I'm gonna do whatever I need to do within my recipe to meet that target financially.
Awesome. Now, this is extremely exciting because look at the country we live in. America's business at the end of the day. Right. So your role is extremely valuable, whether or not people realize that or businesses realize that.
Let me add to that real quick. So, and it's not, some businesses don't realize it, right? But at the end of the day, folks more so not get caught up in the day-to-day, right? Most businesses, 90% of businesses are firefighting every single day. And what a firefight is that you're extinguishing something. Something pop up today, I gotta deal with it, right?
That's right.
And your operating plan goes out the window because my client in Arizona is complaining about something, right? Now you have to hone in, but you have clients in North Dakota, Texas, Minnesota. And it's so tomorrow is Minnesota, Thursday is Texas, Friday is California. So you're constantly firefighting. So it's critical to bring in SMEs such as me and my staff to deal with this because we understand day-to-day operations and we understand the value because that's what generates revenue. But our objective is to make sure you're doing your jobs as efficiently as possible to ultimately bring in more money and be able to scale and get bigger, right? And it's very hard to wear both of those hats as a senior leader or as a CEO or the general manager, because again, you're wearing a lot of hats, right? So what I tell folks is that don't try to master this sort of thing, right? You just need a trusted advisor to come in and support you. They understand your vision, understand your mission statement to help you make sure things are squared away.
Yeah. And you're saying it straight to the point too as well. Now, your government contract, tell us about, obviously, you being, a military brat kind of growing up and being in these different places, like you are surrounded by government, a lot of your life. But talk to us about the government contract and the importance of that for small businesses to have that partnership.
Oh man, it's super important. At the end of the day, guys, I'm different. There's other military brats out here, but with folks though that are not affiliated with military or the government, they don't understand that everything that you have from a civilian perspective exists in the fabric of government and military. Literally, like there's a carbon copy for every single thing that you do with as a civilian. down from janitorial services, buying cars, buying real estate, banking, right, and life insurance. And I'm calling out common things to show that commonality, right? So as a small business, advertisement, web development, brand t-shirts, signage, all that sort of thing is needed by the government as well too, right? So it's critical to understand that as a small business, there are strategic avenues put in place by Congress where the government has to utilize small business to get some of these services done, period, wow. Right? Mandated by law, right? All you need to do as a business owner or entrepreneur or as a rising entrepreneur is understand what are those checks that I need to meet or prerequisites that I need to meet to be in compliance to do business with the government, right? And the cool thing about it, is they're not challenging, but you got to get them done, right? They can be a little confusing if you're not used to it. But again, if you're a business owner, you're supposed to figure those things out. But again, we offer services where we help walk you through the process just to get in compliance, right? But it's critical because at the end of the day, the government is a vessel put in place to make sure us as American citizens are healthy. We can be able to be in positions to prosper. We're protected, you know, from adversaries, domestic and abroad, and so on and so forth, and the many other things that the government's responsible, which is, you know, we can go on and on. But it's critical because these opportunities are out here and folks don't know about them, right? Again, because everyone thinks, okay, when I think government, I think about politics or military, right, weapons, killing, or whatever. It's like, guys, no, like, I saw a guy get a contract just the other day for light fixtures. A $5 million, wow. $5 million contract for 5 years. Jeez. For light fixtures, right? And not to devalue light fixtures, that's just a testament to understand that everything that you need as a civilian is also needed on the government side of the business as well too, right? And if you guys need help getting put in the position to be able to sell your service to the government, reach out to me and we have programs in place that will help you understand what you need to do to be squared away to do business with the government, because you just can't wake up tomorrow and say, hey, I want to sell light fixtures to the Department of Defense or Department of Homeland Security, right? There's certain things you got to go through to do that, right? And it can be quite confusing if you don't know what you're looking at, and that's why we even record services to support folks to do that.
And I think I've heard of, you know, government contracts, and me and my business partner has spoken about it in the past, and a lot of times I think you're right. People are confused by what is a government contract? Like, am I supposed to get money? Like, is it going to be too much policy? Is it going to be too much restriction? Like, do I need to know people who know people? And because of that, people kind of, you know, back away from it. But the point that you said earlier, that everything we see in the civilian world is there in that world too as well. And people, right, can tap into those resources. And I think as of late, we started seeing like individuals and businesses pop up talking about government contracting and what they could do. But even that still seems new. Still seems like, yo, what is that all about?
Right.
But right, for, like, the guy that got awarded that $5 million in light fixtures, that's a huge boost to his business. Especially if he keeps his head on straight and he just performs good service, good delivery, you know, objective, and he's result orientated. So for these other businesses that are like, yo, I want to get into that position, I want to get into that level, like, how should they start thinking? What should they start doing in order to maneuver themselves into that? Because from what I remember, you also have to bid, right? You have to bid on a contract.
Oh, yeah. Well, in most cases, yes, but there are scenarios or positions you can put your firm into where you don't have to bid for. You can have direct awards. And that gets kind of advanced, but it's doable, right? At the end of the day, I mean, it's no different than bidding for work for out in the civilian world, right? It's knowing your competition, knowing the scope of work, knowing what needs to be done, right? Knowing historical background or whatever organization, directorate, department you're dealing with, And then do I meet the criteria from a servicing perspective or product perspective to meet that gap, right? The only element that I would say that would be kind of challenging is actually responding to the request for proposals, the RFPs. There is an art to that, right? But the thing is, as a business owner, I would, and again, this is government or non-government, do not try to do everything by yourself. Please do not. If you have other friends or colleagues to support you, utilize those resources. And in most cases, you're going to have to pay subject matter experts to come in and do things. Pay that, I mean, of course, vet them out, make sure that they're squared away and they have proven performance, but pay that money, right? Because it's very hard to understand the dynamics of how to be in compliance with the government, understand the art of writing proposals, understand how to work within the culture of government, right? Understand how to meet all of the requirements of the contract that you got awarded, right? And then understand, how do I keep going after work while I'm dealing with work I just won? You have to keep expanding, right? You know, because the contract can get cut off with no notice, right? Again, you could have been 6 months into a 5-year contract and it's done on month 7. Nothing you can do about it, right? So it's important that you understand what's going on in your environment. So there's a lot of strategic things you have to be aware of. And again, we offer coaching classes around all these elements, right? But if you are a serial entrepreneur, a standalone entrepreneur, or if you're just starting out 1099, it's critical you not try to boil the ocean by yourself. Utilize, Siri's going off on me, right? Try to utilize as many resources around you as possible to help you out. And as well as the government has also put things in place to support you, such as the SBA office, right? Small Business Administration, right? PTAC, Procurement Technical Acquisition Centers, right? OSBOOS, I'm not gonna call that out, just look it up. OSDBU, OSBOOS, which is sort of a small business office as well too. There's a lot of avenues that you can go down to learn how to go about doing things. It's just knowing what questions to ask, right? And don't be fearful, guys. Because again, I'm gonna say it again. Every single service that's needed on the civilian side is also needed in the government. Every single one of them, right? There's not a service that's not needed from civilian that's not needed in the government. It's a matter of putting your position in a place to be marketable and prove that you can get it done. And again, we have a program to support you through all that.
And I think that's what's amazing, because at the end of the day, people that are new to this are going to be like, I feel like I'm walking in a dark tunnel. I need somebody to show me the way. And I think this even goes to the next point too as well. You know, the firm actually really kind of embarked on a journey, cybersecurity maturity model certification.
CMMC.
That's really interesting. So is that a government contract that you guys have been awarded to help businesses meet that security mandate?
So no, it's not a contract, sir. It's an accreditation, right? So what folks don't know, I mean, we all know, well, again, let me not speak for everybody, but cyber threats. Cyber threats are a very real thing, right? You know, Russia hacking in, China hacking in. You know, we have folks here that are hacking in, you know, U.S. civilians that are trying to hack in the government stuff, so on and so forth. So just the Department of Defense, they reach upwards of 150 to 200 threats per day, right? So you got to imagine, there's a lot of data being transmitted between government and government contractors, right? Because I believe, I don't know the ratio exact, but I believe it's a 37-1 ratio for this 37 contractors for every one general service of government employee today. Mm. So with that being said, that means that contractors are doing a lot of the heavy lifting for government execution of stuff. And again, this is DOD, DHS, CIA, FBI, DOJ. This is everybody. It's government-wide, right? Federal-wide. And at the state and local level, okay? So with that, Congress has mandated to ensure, first of all, starting with DOD, guys, are you guys putting mechanisms in place to ensure that not only you as a department of defense, as well as your contractors have the appropriate infrastructure to be able to handle federally classified information. Federal contracted information as well as unclassified information on their own network once they dismount off of NIPA or CIPA. And those are government networks, right? Those are government internet networks to keep in plain terms, right? So with that, DOD has their CMMC requirements, and then DOD has issue requirements down to their vendors. There's approximately 47,000 defense DOD vendors active today, right?
Wow.
And this mandate has only been pushed to DOD at this junction in time, okay? So now with this, my company, OEM, we've went and gone and got the accreditation with the CMMC accreditation board, CMCAB, and now we are partners with this board, right? This is actually governed by DOD that has oversight from Congress, okay? Now, through that, there's other tiered certifications you can get from an individual and a firm perspective, to where now we can go out and help you if you have company ABC, right? We can make sure that we assist you on to make sure that you are in compliance with the CMC accreditation requirements, right? So it's not a contract per se that we were awarded. It's just that we've erected a service vertical from a B2B perspective and say, hey, listen, guys, now that we are experts in sight of this accreditation, let's go provide a service to other firms that may not have the bandwidth to absorb this sort of service line.
You're like the mobile extension of them. So they can, and when I think about everything that you've been through, the, you know, Sigma 6, Lean, everything, the process reengineering, it makes you perfect for that position to be able to go out, put together a system, put together a process, analyze these vendors and say, okay, from start to finish, this is what we need to do to get you guys accredited and quickly process that. In fact, you can start pitching yourself to them before they start meeting certain deadlines and start getting pressure on them by, you know, superiors and saying, hey, look, you could have done this months ago if you came out and you listened to when we had pitched you, which is kind of really interesting, because how does that then affect the dynamic? Because I guess some of them would kind of look at you like, ah, these guys again want us to go through this, or others would be like, you know what, let's get it done.
So here's the thing. If you don't have this accreditation by September 2025, you're no longer doing business with federal. You're no longer doing business with DOD, period. That's not an OEDM thing. That's a government thing, right? If you don't have this accreditation, you are shut down. You are losing all your contracts, everything, right? So that right there is the value proposition and the motivation to go get the certification, right?
Right? This is awesome. I like that business model, because it's like you guys have a jetpack attached to yourselves, and it's like, yo, we got clearance. Like,
yeah, exactly.
We're going. Like, this is happening. Like, it's right. Either you're not with it, you must not want to do business.
Period, right? And the thing is that from that, now, what our job is to prove that we are trusted advisors, that we can put you in a position to meet this accreditation. That's our job, right? Which we are, period, right? And we're only growing. So the main thing is to directly answer your question. If defense contractors don't do it, they're going to lose their business come 2025. That's it. So, and that's how rigid that DOD has made it, only because Congress has, you know, bestowed that responsibility onto them.
Man, you're activating my memories of MOS and my guy. Then Ford was an intelligence, and he would tell us about this. And I was a field radio operator, and I was in the fire command center control and with the coordinates. And going up to SI for special, man. That's the military life, you know. It keeps you on the edge of your feet, you know. And it's always that these dynamics that are constantly shifting, and you got to be able to be assertive, see it coming, adapt. You have to be able to, but at the same time, keep that momentum going forward.
Absolutely, yes, sir. Because these threats, whether they are physical threats or cyber threats, they are very real. If you're in the know, you take them very seriously. But for the ones that are not in the know, these things are real. You know, when they're saying that Russia's hacking or China's hacking, or you got somebody in the basement in Iowa hacking things, they're really doing this stuff, right? Like, it's not just some propaganda being blasted on CNN or Fox News or whatever, right? So it's critical for our national security that we put the necessary controls in place to prevent these folks so we can protect our freedoms. And I know that sounds very cliche, but trust me, you don't want a country without your freedom. And I'll leave that there.
You're right. And it's such an awesome thing that you're doing, because you're literally protecting this country. Because if you think about like the highest levels of intelligence, you know, Congress, cabinets, or like top secret intelligence, CIA, their security is at the tightest. But then as you start going down the pyramid, down the triangle to these vendors, the information gets loose. You know, it's just how it's not, that's human nature, you know. And what you're doing is that you're helping to, you know, re-securitize, if that's a word, but you're helping to securitize those loose ends and, you know, make that overall organism stronger, more secure, more ready to fend off attacks. Because you're right, a hacker could come in at those lower ends, capture a lot of data, use some kind of crypto computer algorithm to then kind of crack to the next, to the medium level, get some key pieces of information, sell it off to somebody else, or, you know, there's always reverse engineering too as well. So,
sorry about my lighting, guys. Sorry about that.
Nah. This, I think anybody that's listening to this is extremely exciting, because you also have to continuously go under training to stay, you know, with the latest in terms of like how to correctly certify, how to really get them accredited. Can you talk to us about how that process has been so far in dealing with these vendors?
So actually, I mean, we're on the front end of it. I mean, honestly, all these efforts, we are literally at the grassroots level. So it hasn't been really a tough issue, because if a firm is entertaining at this junction in time, they're one of those firms that are ahead of the curve, right? So it hasn't been part of a sell, right? Because again, this is a 2025 mandate, right? So the firms that we've been engaged, they actually found us, right? And let's say, guys, can we do ABC XYZ? We want to go ahead and knock this out, which is a very, very intelligent, very, very smart business decision to make, right? So the main thing is being able to step into very eclectic businesses, help them out, and then be able to dilute very technical jargon to business jargon, right? So transposing that and translating that is the main thing, right? Because at the end of the day, if I were to throw cyber language at the common person, I'll be speaking Mandarin, right? Because honestly, I'm not a cyber guy through and through. I'm learning as I'm going, right? For obvious reasons. I mean, it's part of my business at this point, huh? But again, it's being able to understand the client, you know, understand what they need, understand how do we take very technical jargon, translate that, apply it to use cases, and then give COAs, which I know you know what a COA is, give courses of action to mitigate that in the most streamlined way, right? So again, to your point you made earlier, I'm built for this, Justin Blake the person. Now my job is to ensure that my DNA makeup, as best as I can, is transposed to my staff, so they can also have those thought processes, which has also been quite successful because I deal with other Lean Six Sigma professionals. And these are my partners, you know, so on and so forth.
And I think another, you know, point in the whole of this is that you're dealing with governmental affairs, so there's a lot of eyes. So depending on how you handle these operations and your ability to execute across the board, hey, let's take them up to the next level. Hey, let's bring him on this project. Hey, look, let's put him in that seat. Hey, look, let's get him into this, you know, the member. And it's interesting too as well, because I think maybe even, you know, bringing in some of the staff of those higher levels or related sectors to say, hey, look, this is what we're doing, this is what we're going on, this is what's going on, how does it look to you? You see our process, like, you know, and they'd be like, okay, this is amazing what you're doing, or let me give you a couple of pieces of feedback. Oh, wow, this man, right? Okay, I see this is sharp right here, but, you know, it also goes to show, like you just said, you know, you're working with other individuals that are trained. You're not just, you're getting your thoughts to, so that even if you're not there, you know, these other individuals can succeed and can perform.
Absolutely. Spot on. Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this should get you jumping out of the bed.
I mean, it does, man. I mean, it really does. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, and again, I don't want to sound cliche, but I have a heightened sense of responsibility around national security. One, obviously, is because it's the arena that I work in today. But my foundation is ingrained. And I was raised in the military. Like, I mean, from birth, I was born in Zirkel, Germany, which is near some pretty top secret stuff, down to what I'm doing now today, right? So I think everything I've done throughout my life has been preparatory steps to put me in place of what I'm doing today. And it's been a blessing to have so much support from family and friends, as well as being aligned with like-minded colleagues and business partners that also see the vision, and we share a similar vision, right? So it's been an amazing journey so far. And I'm only looking to continually to scale and grow from here.
Nah, and man, as we start to wrap up, I'm wishing you the best too as well, because I love the fact that you've been able to take everything you've learned, and now you're serving the government, you're serving the highest members, not just the country, you know, the future, you know, the next generations, because honestly, you have a lot of people that they don't care about stuff like that, you know, but then
most of
their
most
life depends on it.
Most of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the most critical stuff. Yeah.
And I think those that do understand at the more intellectual level, they really appreciate what you're doing, because you've got the energy, you've got the youth, so you can be the runner, you know, and you're running with the technical, the processes, like this is what the vision should be.
Yes,
so you're helping them to cement, not just to say cement, but to upgrade, you know, to help them get in a position whereby they can sleep better at night, knowing that, hey, look, we've upgraded these threats. They've been emancipated.
Yeah.
So yeah. What do you think some of your thoughts are concerning, like, how do you evolve as a business? Like, what are the stresses, or what are the things that can kind of serve as divergence for your business? It's kind of like to knock you off that path. And what are things you have to be careful about moving forward?
Absolutely, man. I would say deviating from your business plan. And again, that's another cliche answer. But if you don't have a well scoped out business plan, it's going to be a very cumbersome journey for you. I won't say it won't be a positive or a successful one, because people come, you know, success happens when you pursue, have passion and consistency, no matter if you have an appropriate plan or not. But a limiting or eliminating deviation from your plan, while understanding you have to evolve with your environment at the same time, right? So, because your plan may have been created in January, and the narrative, it may be a totally different narrative in November, right? So you have to make sure you put agile mechanisms in your plan and be in the know what's going on globally, regionally, wherever, whatever you're doing, right? To ensure that you're always thinking ahead, right? Because, you know, the yo-yo was a cool tool, a toy back in the day, right? The first Xbox was a very cool toy back in the day. But guess what? Now we have a PS5. We don't deal with yo-yos now. Now we have applications on our phones. Now we're using the app on the, you know, so on and so forth, right? So it's always being in the know of what's going on out in the culture, out in the environment, so you can plan accordingly, right? And that doesn't mean to have the answers, but you need to be able to put yourself in a position to plan ahead of time, get ahead of the curve, right? And then while you're transacting on your current operations, to again before, do not be Burger King. Do not try to create nuances and workarounds for different client bases or to get around doing the job the right way the first time, right? Right? Do it right the first time, no matter how tough or difficult. Just do it right. Trust me. It will pay off if you do it right. And two, having a very scoped out vision for your company via some type of business plan. I'm not saying go write a 100-page business plan. I'm not saying go write a 5-page business plan. However you choose to do it your way. But stick to it. Understand your upper and lower control limits. Understand your upper and lower threshold limits. And operate within your lane. And that's one of those key things. Stay in your lane. The moment you start trying to take things on outside of your lane is the moment you start to self-destruct. And the sad thing about it is you never just implode in a day. You bleed out over months, right? And then it's like, it's all good in January. And then things start highlighting in February. And then March, other things start getting highlighted. And before you know, April, now you have an issue. And then it may be November before you realize like, dang, my company just blew up. Right? And it really blew up in January, but it won't actually happen until November, right? So again, it's operating within your lane, understand your upper control limits, have a detailed plan, understand your service lines or your product lines, and stick to that, right? You can hop to other things once you actually have consistent income coming in, you have proven performance, you have a very, very satisfied client base, and you know what you're doing, right? You're confident, you're in your sleep, right? Until you get to that point, don't try to do everything under the sun, right? Stay in your lane. Once you've mastered your lane, then you can invite other services, other products, other ideas, right? Because this is not a game where you want to be a jack of all trades.
No.
This is not that game, right? That works in other games. This is not that game. You need to be a master, an expert at what you do, right? And be able to say it like that. And that's not to intimidate guys and not to scare you. It's to put you on point. Because at the end of the day, again, a 5-year contract can get shut down after month 3. Just like, right? If you don't know what you're talking about, or you rubbed somebody the wrong way, or it didn't provide the adequate quality as expected, right? And it's one thing I didn't highlight about all this, culture. Government culture is not civilian culture. Now, I did say that the services, I did say the products and services are uniform across, but how business is done is totally different, right? So I would definitely put in time to understand the culture of government, right? And again, it's not to deter you, is just a different culture. If you want to play the game, you have to learn all aspects of the game.
Straight to the point. Beautiful. This is an amazing interview. Look, we're basically at the end. You know, let the people know, you know, where they can find you. You know, if they want to get in contact, if they want to do business, if they're looking for government contracting, let them know where to find you, Justin.
Oh, absolutely, man. So you guys can reach out. So our website is oedmgroup.com. If you would like to reach me directly, either for mentorship, you need assistance on getting your business squared away to do government contracting, you need help on even starting your business, or you potentially want to partner on doing business with government, reach me at justin.blake, B-L-A-K-E, at oedmgroup.com, right? And if you're on social media platforms, I am on IG and LinkedIn. IG is Justin Dev, D-E-B, Blake, B-L-A-K-E. Justin Dev Blake is my Instagram. And LinkedIn is just Justin Blake, right? And sir, I just definitely want to say I appreciate you affording me the time to be in your platform. This has been an awesome experience. I didn't know if you guys knew, this guy's a Marine right here. I didn't know that before today. So we were able to have some pretty linear conversations before this call. It's a blessing to be on here. I love what you're doing, bro. And I look forward to connecting with you in the very near future on something. And we need to work together on something. So
definitely, man. Definitely. You can come help us square the business away even more. And I'm going to drop all the links to the website, to LinkedIn. In it is going to get blasted everywhere. the video is actually live on YouTube right now. So as soon as I press that end broadcast, it's going to package it together. But thank you for everything that you're doing too as well, Justin. This is extremely needed. All right. To my masterminders, until next time, look, if you have a business, you're a small business owner, you're looking to get into government contracting, you're looking to get your business squared away. You heard how he talked about the processes, the systems. If you're wondering, running around like a chicken, like his head cut off, and you're trying to get yourself situated. Look, if you're not situated as a business, you're not squared away, you're going to end up as a statistic, as another business that failed, that ended up in the graveyard. So don't be that business. Reach out to Justin today. All right, Masterminders, until next time.
Hey, I appreciate you for listening to the Mastermind Your Life podcast. Again, don't forget to follow me on Instagram, TOLU.OWOYEMI, and blow up my inbox, man. I need to hear your suggestions, feedback, people I need to interview next, topics I need to cover. Again, I appreciate all y'all. And while you're at it, you might as well go to Apple and drop that review. Let's get it.